I will now be recording on cassette number 3, side A, copying from the woolen sack recorder, large 7-inch discs. I will go back a little bit on the big recorder before starting to record, so there will be some overlap.
I run off to church. I was just 3 minutes late, or to school, rather. Never did go to church. Didn't know anything about it. So the folks didn't go to church, and I didn't go to church. We used to have our own recreation, us boys. During the summertime, we'd fish, and we'd go swimming. Swim all day, most of the time. Swim down Weber River.
Would you fish in Weber River also?
Yeah, we'd fish in Weber River.
What part of the river? Is this the part just west of where the main tracks are now? And
yeah, directly west of 28th Street is where we used to fish. And I remember the first carp that I caught, I guess I was just as tickled as Winslow was. I sure ran home with it. Another thing, we used to get kill frogs and skin their legs, cut off their legs and skin them and fry them.
Fried frog's leg.
And that's one thing that all mothers don't like. So mother didn't like that. We had to fry our own frog's legs. We got a lot of kick out of it. You know, when you fry frog legs, right, the legs, they move about, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the nerves are moving.
Uh-huh.
So that's one thing that mothers don't like about boys frying frog legs. We used to think they tasted good, too.
Did you catch other fish besides carp in the Weber River?
We used to catch suckers.
Uh-huh.
Never used to catch any trout in the Weber River. And then we used to play baseball in the summertime. There's plenty of vacant lots. We used to have a lot of fun playing baseball. And I used to catch behind the bat. I've got two crooked fingers there now for catching foul tips.
Hmm.
See how crooked that.
How old were you at the time you're talking about now?
Oh, I was about 10 when I got those, that from foul tips.
What do you suppose it did? Did it break the bone in the knuckle? Or
broke these bones in these first knuckles here. Kind of crooked.
In those days, did they take you to a doctor or something like that?
No, I never thought anything about going to a doctor. We used to catch freight trains, too, and right up to Morgan.
Well,
on the UP, and we'd catch freight trains on SP and ride to Corinne, and then come back.
How old were you when you were doing this?
About 12, I guess, when we were doing that.
Did your mother know about that?
Well, they didn't want us to do it, but they just couldn't help themselves.
Well, where are we? Your brother, any of your brothers in on this?
Oh, yes, Sam, he used to be on it, too. And
Ralph?
No, and Ralph, he was younger, and he didn't go around with us at that time. He was so much younger than we were. And then we used to box. I had a pair of boxing gloves, and I used to be a good boxer. I guess, which is no credit to me, being a good boxer, but
I don't know.
I could really handle them gloves. I had a punching bag. I got a lot of joy out of that. That's one thing that gives you a lot of exercise, is a punching bag. And then we used to like to do chin-ups and get on a bar and go over, you know, over and over on a bar. And when I was a lad, I sure got a lot of physical exercise.
What age are you talking about here again, this boxing and whatnot?
Oh, boxing when I was about 16 to 18. Years of age, 20, and I used to box with professionals. There wasn't any money in them, just the glory we got out of it.
Oh.
I remember one time I had a fight with a boy of another gang. He was bigger than I was, and he was a good boxer too, but he had my face bleeding all over.
Huh.
Had my face all cut up. I figured I had to stay with him. I stayed with him and wore him down. Got him tired, and then they called it a draw.
Huh. Where would they hold these fights?
Well, this one was held up on City Hall Square. There was a circus up there at that time, that day.
Big audience then, huh?
Yeah, had a big audience.
Is that the present side of the City Hall?
That's the present side of the, well, just west of it. All that space west
area.
Of it. To Grand Avenue was vacant property, and they had circuses there.
Well,
let's not get to the politics quite yet. Let's let's see. I wanted to. You went to work as a call boy at 13. Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, how much formal education did you manage to get then?
7th grade.
Was this all at Fingry School?
That was all at Fingry School.
What kind of grades did you get in school?
I got good grades. I got, except grammar. I wasn't too good in grammar, but all the others I got A. I was good in geography and history and arithmetic. My teacher said I was one of the best in the school on arithmetic.
Uh-huh.
I got the best grades. I always got A.
Before we get too far along, I just remembered I wanted to have you describe your parents. I remember them, but perhaps not nearly as well as you do. What was your mother like physically, and what did she look like? Color of her eyes and so on.
She was a slender woman, blue eyes, black hair. And father was a man about 5 foot tall. I think he was, in my estimation, he was a good-looking man. He always had wore a mustache, black mustache.
Your dad hair. Was only 5 foot? He must have been taller now, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, about 5'2", I guess. I was taller than he was.
He's real short, then.
Yeah, he's a real short man.
Well, I can remember that mustache, I believe. Did that mustache have a twirl on the end or not?
No, he didn't have a twirl on it. He always kept it well trimmed.
Mm-hmm. How much did he weigh?
140 pounds.
He was, black, dark hair, wasn't he?
Yes, and dark hair.
Blue eyes?
Blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Their name is Mother.
Now, your mother had quite hollow eyes, as I remembered. Is that
yes,
right? Were they always that way?
Yes.
Deep set?
Mm-hmm.
Deep set eyes.
You look like his mother.
I look like my mother.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot. They don't look much like my father.
He's a good-looking man.
Mm-hmm. See me with the derby there? Look at that hat there.
Well,
there's my hat I wore, a soldier's hat to
army.
In the army.
Now, how about
Bush, Washington?
How about your father's personality? What was he like?
Well, he was.
He never got mad, did he?
No, never got angry. Pretty agreeable man. And. Pretty easy going with us kids. You never did tell us anything or teach us anything.
You ever get a good licking?
Got a licking once.
What was that about?
Oh, got on a train and went to Syracuse. I think we went to Syracuse along the way.
This was the Salt Lake. Riding the freight train again?
Riding the freight train, and then freight train coming the other way, but they're kind of slow coming along. They're getting along till night. I got in. Boy, I was with, we got that train. It was late at night when we got home. Oh, it must have been about 10 o'clock, and I got a good thrashing from my father that night. First licking he ever gave me. I deserved it.
Was riding these freight trains by kids fairly common in those days?
Yes, it was.
Did they have bouncers to try and kick you off?
Well, the brakemen bother us once in a while. They didn't seem to bother us very much. I know one time going to Morgan, going up the hill from Uinta, why the brakeman got down at the side of the train, and us kids were on the rods, and as he picked up...
Underneath?
Yeah, we were underneath on the rods. He picked up rocks and was throwing rocks at us.
Oh, boy.
So we had to get on the other side, climb over on the rods on the other side. That was quite a difficult job. Well, I was doing it, and the knees hit the ties one time. Oh, boy. Took on the ties until I could get them raised up again and get back on
them. Oh, boy. Dangerous.
Get them back on the rods again. So we used to go up there to play baseball.
Oh?
We played a Morgan team up there. How we ever got along with our bats and balls and masks and one another, I can hardly figure out what we did.
Did you have sponsors, or did you just get together with a team on your own?
We used to have our own team, and they had a team. We'd get together on our own up there, play ball with them.
Well, now you mentioned gangs. What kind of gangs were these? When we hear talk of kids' gangs nowadays, we think of a bunch of tough kids with knives. Was it that way in those days?
No, just from your own neighborhood. See?
Just your own neighborhood gang, just
that's all.
Your own associates from the neighborhood, yes. All that meant.
No, we never did have any trouble in any way with anybody in any gangs.
What are the duties of a cowboy on the railroad? What did you have to do?
Well, when the train was ordered for 2:30 in the morning, well, we'd have to go to the residence of these men and get them up out of bed and have them sign the call book. Tell them they was to go out on extra engine number 1555 at 2:30 a.m. and they'd have to get down there and engineer would have to oil the engine around and get it ready.
You were the alarm clock then?
Yeah, I was the alarm clock for them.
No telephones, I guess.
They did have some telephones, a few. Speaking of calling these engineer and fireman out in the middle of the night, 2:30 a.m. on extra, it'd be extra 1505, not extra 1555. They had 1500s and 1900s, I remember at that time. 1500s, which were called single engines, and the 1900s were Baldwin compounds with four cylinders. The 1500s just had one cylinder. The steam go in each end of the cylinder. But on the compounds where the steam would go from the high pressure cylinder to the low pressure cylinder, we'd use twice before going into the exhaust, not into the air.
Well, now how did you get the information that you in turn took to the engineers and so on?
The yard office went tell us when the train was to leave. Now at the yard office, they have the information there because the trains are made up by the yard crews, by the switchmen, and they have a yard master over them and assistant yard masters. And when the train was made up, and the cars were all switched together on one track, and the caboose was put on the train, then they'd call the roundhouse and tell them what time the train was to leave.
Well, now, where would you be? Would you be at home sleeping? Or?
No, I'd be at the roundhouse. I worked on a night shift for about 3 years before I got on days.
So you'd have to sleep at home and work there at night?
I'd sleep home in the daytime and be there 12 hours at night. 30 hours, or 30 days a month, 12 hours a day, 365 days a year.
That's a lot of work. What kind of pay they give you for it?
Started out at $25 a month, and they raised it to $50.
Mm-hmm.
At $50 a month, they had consolidated the Union Pacific and Southern Pacifics into the Harriman system of railroads. So then I had to call both Southern Pacific crews for the west and Union Pacific crews for the east. So then I got on days and had to ride my bicycle most of the time because all the men didn't have telephones, especially the Union Pacific men. Most of the engine men on the Union Pacific lived in Evanston at that time. A few of them were living in Ogden, but not too many. So I'd have to go to rooming houses to call them.
Well, most of these rooming houses fairly near the roundhouse?
They were near the roundhouse. Sure would be close for them.
How long did you work as one of these call boys? Is that what they called them?
Yes. I worked about 6 years as a call boy. And then I went to fire and switch engine logging yard.
How old were you when you first did that?
19. You were supposed to be 21 years of age to go firing. So the way to do that was to just make your age 2 years younger.
So, you mean 2 years older?
Or 2 years older, rather.
How did you manage that?
Oh, I just changed my birth date to 1889 instead of 1887.
Well, you must have looked like...
All ready for that now?
Yeah, let's see, you were saying you had to squib about your age a couple of years so you could be a fireman.
Yeah, so I was born in 1887, so I made it 1885. That made me 2 years older, made me 21. So I was able to go to work on the railroad or on the, in Ogden Yards as a fireman, the Ogden Union Railway and Depot Company.
What roost did you run?
Just in the Ogden Yard.
Oh, just in the yard.
Making up trains.
What kind of pay was that?
That was $84 a month. When I was making $25 a month, I used to turn it all over to my parents. And when I was making $50 a month as a call boy, I gave them 35 of it for my board. And when I was working on fire as a switch engine fireman in the Ogden Yard, I gave them $35 a month board.
Now, how long were you on firing?
I was on for a couple of years. Firing.
Was this 12-hour day job?
That was 12 hours a day.
30 days a month?
30 days a month, 365 days a year. So you laid off occasionally, but it's really in those days, working so long, such long hours.
Fireman mean that you had to shovel all that coal in with a hand shovel?
That's right. They had coal at that time. Later on, they did get oil for engines to heat them with, fire them with oil to make the steam. In those days, that's all we knew was coal. And all the engines were hand-fired. They didn't have any stokers in those days. But, it wasn't too hard in the yards when you get a hold of a drag, as they called it, pull it up the hill, and then switch them to the different tracks. That's the only time you really had to work. And of course, firemen had to keep the water in the boiler through the injector, put on the injector to run the water into the boiler from the tender.
Mm-hmm.
The tender behind the engine will hold the coal in the water. It takes a lot of water to make steam. That's the reason that the railroads make better time today. They don't, these diesel engines, they don't have to stop along the way for fuel and for coal and water like they did in those days.
All the water went up the chimney, didn't it? It was never condensed and reused.
No, the water, purpose of the water going out the stack is to, through the exhaust, is to intensify the fire in the engine, you know,
mm-hmm.
to make the fire hotter. It burn up the coal faster, but it makes more heat.
Mm-hmm.
So that draft from the exhaust is what burns up the coal and makes the heat to make the steam. That front end has to be tight, so it has to be airtight so that to make that exhaust work. It has to be a vacuum in the front end there, not in the smoke end of the boiler.
Who were some of your best friends as a youngster and a young man?
Oh, Jim White, Joe Siegel, Matt Galt. Yeah, they were nice fellows, very good. Jim, he worked with me in the yards. He fired switch engine also.
Jim White?
Jim White, he was a call boy. He was calling train crews when I was calling engine crews. So we used to get together, and after we got through work at night, we'd spend 2 or 3 hours every morning before we went home doing stunts.
What kind of stunts?
Oh, acrobatic. stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like that, something like that. So when we used to go out nights, shall I tell you the things we used to do?
Sure.
The whole truth. We'd go out nights, go up 25th Street, and we'd stop in a chili parlor there. I forget the name of it now. It used to be a prominent chili parlor. We'd go in there and eat, get our meals there, and we'd have beer to drink. And we'd go in Murphy's lots of times when we wouldn't go to this chili house down on 25th near Wall.
Uh-huh.
We used to go in there and we'd get what we call beanos. We'd get one of these French loaves of bread and take the inside of it out and fill it pork and beans. And then have a bottle of beer to drink, that to eat and a bottle of beer to drink.
That's a beano, huh?
They would have a beano. Something like that.
Well, Murphy's, it seems to me I remember that store as a kid. Curio shop or something.
His store was right next to the curio shop.
Oh.
Shop. His father had a saloon on the corner, and then there was a curio shop, and then there was George Murphy Jr. grocery store. He had a wonderful business there. He had a good business at that time because the automobile industry people wasn't traveling across the country in automobiles.
Uh-huh.
And people from the trains would come in there to get their groceries, get a quick lunch, you know, bread and cheese and cake and fruit and nuts and things like that. And he done a wonderful business at that time.
But well, didn't you know him quite well?
Yes, I worked for him a while. I worked in his grocery store as a clerk, worked in there. I quit the farm in the yard and went to work for him as a grocery clerk.
About what age was that?
Oh, I'm not 23 or 4. Then I went to work for Dad.
Well,
after that.
What was your dad doing here? We had him, last time we talked about your dad, he was on a cash valley run or something.
Well, then he quit that cash valley run and went to work on the Southern Pacific as a brakeman.
Was this the... Where would he run on that?
He'd run from Ogden to Terrace.
Where is Terrace?
Terrace is on the north end of the lake.
Well, the trains were still going around the lake.
They were still going around the lake. They'd go to Promontory and over Promontory and down to Terrace.
And then what'd he do? Stay there and come back on another
run? Come back on another train coming east. Then he quit that and went into the transfer business.
City transfer.
Started out with horses or what?
Started out with horses. Started out with a team and wagon and a small wagon and one horse. Started out with a team and wagon and one wagon with one horse on it. But it's called an express wagon.
What
picking up trunks and like that.
What was the main business there, anyway?
He was haul coal, and there was a lot of coal hauling in those days. He'd haul coal, he'd haul furniture, and hay and grain. He had hay and grain at that time, too.
Was he living on Benford when this was started?
No, living on 2783 Pacific Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold out to the railroad, sold the place for $1,500.
Mm.
The railroad, and he moved on to Benford.
Well, now on Benford, I can remember some large buildings behind the house, two-story. Is that something to do with the transfer business?
Yeah, that was a large barn.
Did he build that house on Benford?
No, that was already built there. But
had a barn, too?
Barn, and this barn, the top of the barn was for hay, see?
Uh-huh.
For hay and horses. Stalls it at the bottom for horses and the top where they put the store, they put the hay in there for feed. So I never did move in there. Of course, when he moved in there, he had trucks then.
Oh.
He had trucks when he moved in there. But that's the reason for that big two-story building at the back of the house. That was built when the house was built.
Is it buying for horses?
Well, no, in his transfer business, did he have an office downtown?
He had an office downtown on 25th Street.
About what address?
Between Lincoln and Grant, it was about 200 and about 235, something like that, 25th Street.
South side of the street?
South side of the street.
Well, now, how did that business prosper, and what became of it?
Well, he got along pretty well. He made money with the teams, and then he got trucks. Got a van and a express truck that he had. He went in business with others two or three times. Couldn't make it and had to separate from them.
Do you know who some of these others were?
Can't think of the names now. There was one fellow had a van. He wanted to go in with Dad. He wasn't making any money. And that was Hewitt. And they couldn't make it together, so they had to break up. And then there was Lloyd, I believe the other fellow's name was, wanted to go in with him, and they couldn't make it together. So they had to break up.
Your father carried that up about his death,
didn't he? Yeah, just about the time he died. But his business went down for some reason or other. Well, because he didn't expand.
Mm-hmm.
So his business went down to practically nothing. He had one truck when he went out of business.
Well, now, you worked for George Murphy for a couple of years, was that it?
Yes.
And then went to work for your dad in the transfer business?
Yes, and I worked for him 10 years. And then I went to, tried selling insurance for about a year, Metropolitan Insurance Company.
You must have got married in here somewhere.
Yeah, I got married in 1918.
While you're still working for your dad?
Yes, I was working for Dad at that time.
What sort of thing did you do? Did you drive the trucks or what?
Yeah, I drove the van. I drove the,
this was a moving van?
Moving van, yes.
Well, how far would you go with the van?
Oh, we'd go Salt Lake, Tooele, Provo, Pocatello.
Mainly furniture moving?
Furniture moving. Well, that, on those trips it was furniture moving, yes, on the long trips. Then we moved around town. Then other hauling too, hauled cement and grain.
Your father wasn't making enough money to
haul the grain.
That's right. Did you have any interesting experiences you'd care to relate on those when you were working for your dad?
Well, I remember one time on a trip to Provo to move the household goods from Provo. The way this man explained it to Father, I just had just a small load. When we get down there, the lady had his mother had about 1,000 pounds of canned fruit. You know what? How much weight that is? 1,000 pounds to put on a truck, besides the other furnishings. And the wheelbase was short on this truck. It was a Nash, fine truck.
How many tons did they rate the truck at?
That was a 2-ton truck.
Mm-hmm.
They did 2-ton. Well, when I got that load on there, and she didn't say anything about the fruit until I got everything just about loaded and I had to put on the back of the truck.
Oh my.
Well, them wheels were just, the front wheel was just raising off of the ground all the time.
Hmm.
And I had to keep as close to the center of the road as I possibly could in order to keep the van from tipping over.
Hmm. Where did you have to haul this stuff to?
I had to haul it up on...
Somewhere in Ogden?
In Ogden, here on 15th Street, somewhere on 15th Street. And in those days, they had the highways rounding from the center. Now they have them flat now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, the way they built the highways, they just rounded.
For drainage, I guess.
Mm-hmm. From the center, well, and see how that loader wants to tip over, tip with the going this way on the road all the time, you know, with that heavy load.
These were all gravel roads, I guess.
Well, most of them at that time were cement and hardtop, blacktop.
Oh, about what time was this?
Oh, that was 1921 or 22 at that time.
The main roads connecting Ogden, Salt Lake, and Provo were cement?
They were paved. They were paved roads, but there were only two-lane roads. That's all there were. None of them were over two lanes.
Uh-huh.
And they were narrow, too. You had to